Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Watching. Yeah, it looks like we're up, man.
We're on. So, So Haller, we've been discussing a news article that you sent me last. I don't even know when. It's been a couple days ago that you wanted to kind of. I think it intrigued you, certain aspects of this. Of the story, made you question this gentleman's judgment. So, I mean, do you want to describe what this news?
Well, hold on. Now, we were talking the other day. How did we even get on that?
I don't even know how we got on this particular gentleman. You just sent me this news article. You texted it to me. It was one that you said I saw something. I wanted to talk about, and I said, well, make sure you save it so we don't forget it, because, you know, we're absent-minded sometimes. And because I think we talking about the lady who cut the guy's head off and left it in the bucket.
Kind of made us
realize that, you know, hey, there's some interesting stories out there that maybe we ought to explore.
Right. We normally stay away from we're gonna stay away from the political side of this, because we don't talk about politics on the show. But when me and you were having that discussion afterwards, or prior to that, when we were talking about the head on the bucket, I sent you that deal, and I feel had we made this podcast the day I read that story, we would be cutting edge. But now it's getting a little traction, and it's about the third the rep from the 3rd Congressional District of Texas having a ISIS bride.
As in
mistress, his concubine, do I say paramour? Let's say paramour.
Okay.
So I think paramour is the proper term, right? That's somebody that you cannot marry, or they cannot marry you. I guess they could marry him, because I think her husband's dead, right?
I think he
got killed by coalition forces.
And, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, he went off to war in Syria. Right.
Where Mr. Third Congressional came back from Iraq as a Marine major. So, you know, thanks for his service. Right. Hey,
yeah.
Thanks for he's Harvard MBA. So he's a smart dude, too. Right.
Well, maybe
my particular conversation with you regarding this last week and then today was. I'm choosing my words here because I don't want to attack him personally, right? He appears to be, at face value, a well-liked conservative Republican congressman who goes to church and owns guns and would, by all stretch of the imagination, be the kind of guy I would vote for. Right. I'm just gonna throw it out there. Right?
Probably, yeah, yeah.
Probably
at
right?
face value. At face value.
So yes. So, and what I think I exactly told you was, I expect that kind of guy to have an affair with his sister-in-law, a girl from church, or something to that effect.
Or the babysitter.
That's a stretch. Yeah. But this guy And I don't want to look it up while I'm talking, but I'm going to have to, because where did she come from? Is she from Syria?
Yeah. Yeah. Her husband was a jihadist who went to Syria, you know, went to Syria, or she went to Syria with her first husband. So maybe they weren't from Syria. They traveled to Syria to fight. But he did not, apparently her husband did not.
So was she from here and then went over there? She's saying she's no homewrecker. I'm looking at a picture right here, and you know, in Texas, I would have thought she was Hispanic. If she can Espanol, senor, she could probably pass for a little Latin bride and just be a cartel yeah. bride instead. But, it wouldn't have the traction that this has got.
So she said she fled from Syria and resettled in Plano. But the thing that struck me is that she was such
an... She's got an American name. Did you see her name?
Just Jaya. I don't know what her last name is. Joya. Yeah, Joya.
Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
But she was such an extremist, she wanted to be a suicide bomb.
Well, you know, maybe he should have helped her. I don't know. You know, she escaped ISIS in Syria and moved to Plano, Texas. Well, that explains it all.
Tanya Joy.
I didn't even know. Joy is her
last name.
Yeah, actually. I see now. I don't mention names on this show.
Oh, wait a second. So this, which is something
that's a Spanish looking name, isn't it?
Tanya. She was born in London. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, I didn't even see
so
that.
So she was born in London. I'm looking at an article. She was born in London to a Muslim Bangladeshi family and became radicalized at age 17 after September 11th.
But how did she
traveled to Syria with her first husband, Texan John, I can't pronounce his last name, when he went to fight for the Islamic State. She dreamed of becoming a suicide bomber before she came. So her first husband, who appears to be an American dude, went to fight for the Islamic State.
What happened to him, does it say?
I don't know if he was killed or it just says she became disillusioned. So that's how she ended up in Texas, is because her first husband was from Texas.
Her new husband's from Texas. An IT executive, I don't want to say his name, at the time of the affair, said tensions eventually came to head when they split last summer. In November, she contacted so-and-so and confessed to the affair and hasn't spoken to the ex-husband since. Or her husband, I guess. She met him on Match.com and married her in 2008, said the relationship had been rocky before she cheated with the politician. This is a quote. "What really ticked me off is that he's my congressman," he told the Post. "I live in the 3rd district, and it's insane to me that it's enough for him to just give up his bid for reelection, and that's somehow enough. I think he should step down right now. I don't think he should finish out a term. I think he should leave in disgrace." He said his relationships. He destroyed their relationship emotionally. "I think he's very manipulative of her." Oh, so it's the congressman's fault for manipulating the Syrian suicide bride.
Yeah, I'm reading right here. Yeah, she divorced her second husband, who she married in 2018 in January. And that husband says the congressman was predatory in having an affair with her.
Well, which is why I said I can understand something, but you know, she probably didn't say I'm a suicide jockey right off the bat, right? She said I'm a British girl from London and I live in your district and would you like to play golf or something? You know what I mean? I'm just trying to, you know, the newspaper is the things are just making that sound like, you know, he picked her out at Match and put.
Looking for a jihadist. I'm looking for somebody who's radicalized.
She did give an interview, the second or third interview, because she's been giving interviews, said that she was making love and he was having sex and he would 4 or 5 times a night, which that sounds a little sensational to me from what I've read about politicians in this act. Okay.
I thought you were going to say from the sounds of like being a middle-aged guy, but you're just, you think it's politician.
I don't know. I mean, maybe there is a little kick when you got a suicide. I mean, when you got to worry about blowing up, I mean, literally, right? Every time it's here. I mean, maybe there's an edge. It's, you know, that 50 Shades of Grey ain't got nothing over 5,000 shades of Simtex, RDX or something, you know?
And I think that, you know, I mean, I think it's a little extreme for the guy to say he should step down just because he had an affair. Okay. I don't think this affair, it's not like it had, I mean, look, he's just a human being, right? I mean, I think the angle to this
is a member of Congress, buddy, you know? Was Charlie Wilson in the third congressional district, or was he in the second?
I don't know. But I mean, listen, are we going to start really holding congressmen to a higher level? Because if we are, I think I totally am.
Because you know why? A good one. Well, hold on a second. He was the congressional second, Texas congressional second. So, oh my gosh, he's in Dan Crenshaw's spot. Figures, there he was. Anyhow, I think we have to, because you know why?
What is that?
I mean, if they're not smooth enough not to get caught with a jihadi bride or whatever, how can we make sure that they're not smooth enough to give out the Russian Ukrainian secrets or something?
Isn't that already been done? Hasn't there already been?
I'm just saying, on so many levels, dude, if you cannot even manage a simple, you know, double divorced English / Syrian / Texan crazy woman, how can you manage global geopolitical decision making?
Right? I think you answered your own question. They can't. So that's what I'm saying. I think the whole lot of them probably should get. Maybe we should send a suicide bomber in there and get rid of them all so we can start over. Maybe. I don't know.
That kind of in trouble. January 6th. Where were you January 6th?
I was not partaking. Trust me.
I was just thinking, though, maybe. I'm just thinking out loud here, right? Maybe. I can't say it.
You gotta put everybody, on the edge, and then say, I can't say it.
Well, I was just thinking.
I just think the thing that stood out to the story to you the most was that here was a guy who, of course the news was playing it up that she was, you know, wanted to be a suicide bomber and an ISIS bride and everything. And that's about as far from what you'd expect that guy to be doing. You know, not that you would think
with her Bangladeshi background, she would be, I don't want to say taxi driver, because she seems like a nice looking gal, probably Uber driver. She would be messing around with Uber drivers or something, or over at Super America outside the Minneapolis airport, waiting for her next husband to drive the taxi around or something, not messing around in the congressman's $3.5 million home while his wife is at the other $3.5 million home in Northern Virginia. First of all, you know, this is what, back to the wife, excuse me. The first clue, lady, would have been that he's in this district, because these congressmen, once they get elected, they're never in their district. They're all in Virginia. So he wanted you, the wife, to be in Virginia while he's back in the district. That should have set off all kinds of bells and whistles.
True. There you go. Because they're not really ever back in their district at all. Unless they're getting, they're up for election.
I think they're up every 2 years. So they're, in today's world, they're up all the time. I really can't completely comment like I wanted to say earlier today, because we were on a clean show and you told me I had to clean up some of my comments. But. Well, last week when I first seen that, I was telling you, how do you end up, how does a dude get in that position? And
I don't know. I mean, and like
and
I
then
said,
how did the topic come up? Right. So it's like, Now, I don't know because I've been married so long, so I don't even know what people discuss when they're dating nowadays or whatever. But, but you're, oh, by the way, you know, when I told you, you know, I'm just playing this out. She's going, oh, by the way, when I told you I was a clerk at Target, I'm really not. I am a displaced suicide bride from Syria who's on my, looking for my third husband. I don't know. What did she tell him? Hey, you know, I told you about my first husband in the divorce. It's not true. He blew himself up on the battlefield fighting coalition forces. Or, no, my first husband actually got killed by a drone strike. Or, I mean, who knows? You know, at what point in the relationship do you feel comfortable enough? You know, because when you're, you know, when people date, they put on their best side, right? And they white lies to make the other one, you know what I mean? You don't, you know, maybe you... I don't know, because most of the people I ever dated already knew me from, you know, in this town, you know, in my orb. I didn't get to go out and meet strangers. So I don't even, I'm just thinking of all the movies and stuff I've watched, you know, but
I'm kind of right there with, so, I mean, kind of right there with you. I went out
with or whatever, you know, I always drove shitty trucks and dressed terrible and, you know, so even though I told them I started my working career as a petroleum transfer agent, they realized that I pumped gas to the town's last full service station.
A petroleum transfer.
Yeah, I tried to say I was going to transfer. You know, I transferred it from the gas station's tank to their tank. Okay. So, well, you pump gas. Well, I guess, yeah. So how does, I mean, obviously he says, oh, well, I'm glad to meet you. I'm the third congressional district, you know, I'm whatever he says. So he probably said all kinds of shit. I'm a Harvard MBA and whatever. But now what did she say? That's what I want to know. I want to know her side of it.
We're not really.
Let's try to get her on the podcast. Cause she looks like she's giving interviews all the time.
Well, would I, and just
you think you could do that?
Why not? I could try. I mean, the thing that really then shows what we're all about here in politics in America is that she then went to his opponent and said, hey, I just got dumped. I got the goods on your opponent. You want to hear it? And then that woman sets up an interview that can be aired right before the primary, smearing his name.
Well, that's the way it works.
That surprises
you or what?
Listen, I just think that's terrible. Like, am I wrong to think that that's just terrible? That's not the way stuff should be. Like, I don't know. I understand that's the way it is, but it really is. It's not how it should be. I mean, you shouldn't relish in your opponent's misfortune. And
that is why you are not elected, my friend.
Is that why?
So yes, it is. I mean, them guys wake up every morning and they're killing tigers and putting out fires all day, every day. You know?
Well, you know, I guess maybe I'm not vicious enough, huh? To do that.
You obviously aren't.
But isn't that what you want to have as a leader? Somebody who has some compassion and understanding. And I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'm all wrong. But I mean, nobody seems to be very happy with the state of politics now. So, and that seems to be what we have is low down, dirty.
Shame. Isn't that what they called it? Isn't that what it was?
No. Low down, dirty shame.
Wasn't that a song?
Or a movie. Wasn't that a movie? Wasn't that a movie that maybe starred like Jim Brown or something? Right? Isn't that what that was?
Yes, the original one, but didn't they remake it?
I'm going to get you, sucker.
Hey, you know what? I got on the elevator yesterday. I don't think it was today. And I've been on a lot of elevators, okay?
Yeah.
And when people say, where are you going? Which floor? I always say, whether I'm going up or down, I always say the floor number, and I say the ghetto, of course. Or I'll say, you know, number four, you know, they'll say, where you on three or four or wherever, you know, and I'll say, I'm going to four, the ghetto, or number one, the ghetto. And I've probably said that a dozen times. Right?
Yeah.
More than a dozen. And yesterday, there's a couple of gentlemen, probably our age, maybe, you know, probably our age. And I said, the ghetto, of course, number one. And this guy immediately started singing. In the ghetto. You remember that? That song, yeah. In the ghetto. Was that Percy Sledge or somebody? Who was that?
No, you're talking about in the ghetto with, oh, God, it was.
Yeah.
Well, Elvis sang. Didn't Elvis sing in the ghetto? But it was also. Oh, God. Why can I not think of his name? Oh, for goodness sakes. On the wild side. Are you talking about Take a Walk on the Wild Side? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it was an old. Here, I'm going to look it up, even though I'm trying to maintain. Hold on. My. In the ghetto lyrics. Oh, it was Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
Surely somebody sang besides him. Who originally sang in the ghetto? Mac Davis.
There you go. Well, Mac Davis wrote it.
Apparently he was a songwriter.
I think Mac Davis wrote it. Yeah.
Yeah. Written by Mac Davis. It was a major hit released in 1969 as part of the Elvis Presley's comeback tour. Dude, that just reminded me of something.
Oh, boy.
Well, we're having, you know, I do it every freaking week. My wife was busting my balls the other day saying something. She said, I can't believe you guys have any followers left. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, the second week in a row or third week in a row, I've walked by the room, walked by the door, and you're talking about your freaking dead brother. People do not want to hear that. And here I'm about to say, so as we were transpiring, my brother's originally succinct funeral was just going to be not much. And then we were going to have what they call celebration of life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I rented this place that we have some parties for my grandma and some people at different times. And anyhow. My dad wants to get this Elvis impersonator. We had a birthday party a few years ago for my grandma.
Wait a second. For the
celebration of life. Instead of my little brother wants to get some hippie cover band that plays, you know, acoustic guitar at the VFW. And it's supposed to be pretty good. You know what I mean? Sinead O'Connor type stuff. And my dad and my aunts are wanting me to get this Elvis impersonator. And I just got to thinking right now, I've got to call my uncle and reserve. We've had three Elvis impersonators at my grandma's for her. She's 85, 88 now. I'm trying to know. She might be. She's going to be 89 this year, 90. So the best. Haven't I ever told you about this? The best Elvis impersonator we had showed up. He was in an 82, 83 Cadillac DeVille, giant car, right? Baby blue.
20 foot long, probably.
50 foot long. The only thing I dinged it on, you know, on those cars, and the car guys know what I'm talking about, it's got a front cap and a rear cap. What I mean by that is it's got big metal fenders, but in the very front where the headlights and turn signals go, it's got a little thin strip of like fiberglass or whatever. Does that make sense? In the front, it's like a little nose cap. Well,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? The little, like 2 inches between the front fender and the front of the car. Yeah. Right? Like around the headlight bezel and all that. You know, a lot of times it's fiberglass. And one of his taillight bezels was a different color. You know what I mean? So he had this like strip of white on this baby blue car. And his license plate said it was Missouri personalized TCB something, and I don't remember what it was. TCB.
Taking care of business.
Yeah.
Taking care of business. Yes. I do have a guy who he's over in Europe. He's a I think he listens to the paranormal part of the podcast, and he's into some conspiracies, and he was trying to tell me he truly believes Elvis is still alive and is that preacher in Missouri or Kansas or wherever. You know who I'm talking about? There's a preacher who they think...
Preacher's a creature or there's a creature? What?
The preacher. There is a preacher, I believe, in Missouri that some people think is Elvis. That he sounds like Elvis, he sings like Elvis, he would be about the same age.
Like 90?
Yeah, like he's, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's this, and this guy who has some interesting theories on Bigfoot and stuff. What is the, let's see. Yeah, he thinks this, and I've heard this story before.
About the preacher, Elvis about the preacher.
The preacher in, right here. His name is, his real name, Elvis Aaron Presley was just a stage name. His real name was Robert Joyce or Bob. And this guy... He sent me a bunch of stuff. Says he's 87 now. He used to live in Kalamazoo, but he was a preacher then. He sent me videos on YouTube and stuff. I'm just like, I'm sorry, I can't.
Can't see it. You don't agree with it? What?
I know some people in Nashville who knew Elvis.
Right.
And they're pretty sure he's dead. You know what I'm saying? They're pretty sure he's dead.
Right.
So it's just, it's hard for me. I mean, look, I understand some things aren't as they seem, but I also don't think everything's a conspiracy, if that makes sense.
Well, I've often told you paranoid people have enemies too. You know what's funny is we're sitting here. I'm about to text you something. It really puzzles me, not really puzzles me, but it really sets the stage. So my brother had an office over at the power plant. And anyway, this gal was offering to get me some stuff out of his office. He had two. One was outside. There were the normal offices. And then he was cleared to be inside something at the reactor building or something. And he had an office in there. And she said it was full of all this, his real pictures and drawings and stuff. So I just sent you a picture. Did you get a picture of it? Did you just get a text from me?
No, not yet.
So he, over one shoulder, he's got a picture of a flying saucer that says, "I want to believe."
That's from the X-Files. That was the...
He's got something.
Fox Mulder's had that
he's poster. Got the eye from the dollar bill that says something. He's got some paranoid stuff around him, like he would have been a great guest.
I guess so. He does. He seems like he would... he certainly could have talked Star Wars and Star Trek.
Maybe. I don't know. So... So I guess I'm going to have to get Elvis now. I'm going to have to tell my little brother there's no going to be no hippie cover band. Sinead O'Connor. The Sinead O'Connor tribute is not going to be at his thing.
I got to be honest. I find it hard to believe that anybody's making a living as a Sinead O'Connor cover band or tribute band.
I mean, she had one song. She shaved hair and all. I mean, she said he's bald and all.
So they look like Sinead O'Connor, but they're not singing Sinead O'Connor.
So let me tell you about the Elvises. We had a good Elvis, we had a bad Elvis, and we had an okay Elvis. I'm trying to remember, we had, if the same guy, I'm trying to remember, but the middle Elvis didn't have a Cadillac. The bad Elvis didn't have, he was a little fatter. He didn't have a Cadillac. He had an Oldsmobile, I think, a crappy one from the 90s, you know, one of the mid-size. But he had personalized plates too, but I think it said Elvis.
Wait, was that the guy named Bob?
He could have been, now that you say it. And you know, the funny part is, the good Elvis was $200 and the bad Elvis was $300, but my uncle that manages it, he had to get the bad one because the good one was too big, booked up.
Because he was cheaper.
Well, and we got to talking about that, and he said, you know, because we offered him, we had a big big feed going on, you know, fish fry and all this food, and he said he couldn't because he had to perform again, so we were just trying to figure out, because he drove about 90 miles to be it, and I thought, how would you take off, you know, drive 90 miles to sing to a bunch of old women, and it was my aunts and uncles and great aunts, great, you know, my grandma, you know, and her sisters and the people are around, and I thought, and it was down in Tebbets, Missouri. Her birthday's the first weekend in August, and just a hot old river town, you know, just think down the, like, almost like you'd get down, you know, just flat corn around, and it's almost too hot for the mosquitoes, I'm going to take some pictures, and he gets out there and he's sweaty. He's got this one piece jumpsuit on, you know, like them white ones that Elvis had, you know, and to come back and,
oh yeah.
And he just goes, this course, obviously COVID probably killed him, right? They couldn't do this because he went from one big old gal to the next big old gal in between fried chicken and eat a piece of catfish and sing Suspicious Minds, you know, and just, you know, just go from one lap to the next. They were sitting on his lap. They were dancing with him. And then he had to pack up. He couldn't stay because he had to do it somewhere else. And then he was off, you know.
So he essentially was kind of living like Elvis probably.
Yeah, in fact, he had to drive. He didn't have an entourage, and you know, yes. And he was on to the next room, you know. Mm-hmm.
Making good money. And
you know, well, and that's just what I said. And that's what my uncle told me. He said, you know, he does that two or three times a day every weekend. He's booked up for like 6 months out of the year. And I'm saying, are you kidding me? And when we were just figuring out, you know, he's making, because we paid him $100 bill. So he's making $400 or $500 a weekend, you know, two or three weekends a month, $1,500, you know, I mean, just
all cash too, probably.
All cash, puts it right in his pocket. I'm sure he's declaring it. Because we all know Elvis never had tax issues. So, right.
Yeah. Oh,
he's
man.
He's known for a lot of things, but not tax issues.
Well, you know, Colonel Parker was known to just skim a little off the top.
Just enough to get him down in the lower bracket. And, maybe it was just to get him, he's doing it for himself, doing him a favor because he got him in that lower tax bracket.
I think Colonel Tom Parker skimmed off the top, the bottom, and the middle. That's what I think.
Hey, I would think, excuse me. Just like my brother who wouldn't have changed the thing, I don't think Elvis would have changed the thing, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he just, yeah, that maybe that's the name of the game. You just played the dealt, like what did Kenny Rogers say? You got to play the hand you're dealt, or what did he say? Not fold them and hold them, it was something else.
You got to know when to walk away and when to run. You got to, yeah. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. Yeah. Because there'll be time right. enough for counting when the deal is done.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
If only I could write some lyrics.
Well, hey, if only you had the right guys. If it's maybe it's who's performing them. Maybe if you'd write a good song, I could get the Sinead O'Connor knockoff band at the VFW to do it. And, I gotta, and you guys can change both your situations.
I got to be honest. I think I probably got a couple of songs too good for the Sinead O'Connor wannabe band.
You don't know. I mean, you know, right? I don't know. I don't know. So anyway, we had to ad hoc this because our guest had a funeral to go to, and he funeral, had a meeting.
Huh? Funeral? Yeah. Well, no, he had a dinner. He had a, so and yeah.
See,
so
this is the first thing in entertainment. You've got to entertain, Shane, and having a meeting is not as entertaining as he had a funeral to go to, right?
Well, we'll tell our So we're going to tell our listeners that our next episode,
we've got an Arkansas funeral home director.
Funeral home director who's a big fan.
He's and well on the super fan status. He is the lead fan, because we've had a lot of fans reach out and say they would love to do it, but they've got stage fright. They're scared. They don't know what they're going to talk about. Super fan here. We're going to call him. What are we going to call him? Because we got it. We give everybody a stage name, so you don't have to use your own name. We're going to call him
The Undertaker.
The Undertaker.
That's right. Call him The Undertaker.
The Arkansas Undertaker.
The Arkansas Undertaker.
So next week we're going to have the Arkansas Undertaker. Me and him are going to probably bounce some ideas off each other.
That's right.
Talk a few things out. Maybe tell a story or two. Maybe make up a story or two. And hopefully he'll know when the fish are biting down there. Arkansas has got some good fishing, got some great duck hunting in places. Now that I think about it, Arkansas is the only place I've worked with half a dozen guys from Arkansas, and every one of them has been a good old boy. I went to Arkansas and bought my four wheeler. That's how it last year, 2 years, 2018. That's how much fond I am of Arkansas. The only problem with Arkansas, especially Northwest Arkansas, it is so hilly and crooked. It's probably the only place worse than Pennsylvania I've been.
You mean worse than West Virginia?
It's like the same. You know? Yeah, it's like West Virginia. That's the best way I can say it. It's West Virginia with nicer houses. That's what it is. What? Well, West Virginia got a lot of trailer houses and such, and I like them. Don't get me wrong, but down there, you know, in Arkansas, it's the same crappy roads.
I got to say, I had a conversation with the Arkansas Undertaker, and he's a good old boy, so I think it's going to be a fun conversation.
Right. Well,
I'm looking forward to it. I know you're looking forward to it, so right. Hopefully.
Okay. Next week we'll have a good showing, and we'll get it.
And maybe we can bring up Elvis again and see if he thinks Elvis faked his death from an Undertaker's point of view.
We'll see if you can even fake it.
Boy, now there's a question for him.
Can you even fake it in today's world?
Could you fake your own death? Like, how would you go about it if you were going to do it?
And I don't know.
How much as an Undertaker would it take for you to not blow their cover? That's a good question.
Can't wait. See you then.
Yep. Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.